top of the hour. What are the realistic expectations for the Honey Badger coming into his first season with the Houston Texans? Seth, you pointed out that David Barron has a story in the Chronicle this morning about how the Astros are killing it right now in television ratings.
They're crushing it, Mike.
On the regional sports network side, they're ninth in baseball among the 30 teams in ratings on a every single night sort of basis.
On pace for the best season's long ratings performance since a 3.9 average in 2007. And it just made me think of how, do you remember what it was like a few years ago in the spring and in the summer?
I didn't watch.
It was
games.
Miserable. Of course you didn't. Yeah, of course you didn't. Like some people would like use it as bragging rights. Like, yeah, I went and wasted 4 hours every single night on the Astros game. And that somehow makes me a better sports radio host. No. No, it doesn't. It's making you boring.
I bleep the lemons and bail.
It's driving you into the dirt.
Right. But this is part of also my lack of love for baseball has been affected by that stretch. There was a stretch of time where I felt it was completely useless for me to spend any time watching baseball.
Well,
it was a good 3-4 year stretch. And now the Astros are very good. And I enjoy watching the Astros every single night. I just want the games to speed up and not to play these damn West Coast teams.
As you've pointed out, that the Astros have struggled against the better teams in the league. Their pitching, their pitching has not been the same. Yes, and they remain not doing anything about that. I do wonder though. You trade for a defensive catcher. You trade for a Golden Glove catcher. They've had this infatuation with Jake Mariznick. They've done things that nod to them caring and respecting more about defense, perhaps, than some teams do. And I wonder, obviously, you're not going to get the closer that you so covet, and it's not going to be Zach Britton, obviously. But there are things that the Astros are doing in their kind of Astros analytical way, where I wonder if maybe this is the best strategy and the best route, and they know better than we do, that Maldonado is a better... It's a better addition, perhaps, than just something to patch up the Brian McCann injury.
Interesting. And Martin Maldonado, by the way, that's who the Astros traded for yesterday. And
Angels.
Seth, as you mentioned, yes, this is a Gold Glove catcher. I think it means McCann's not coming back.
I don't agree with that at all. At all.
When you wrote that down,
I was surprised by it. When I saw the trade, I did not have that impression.
I mean, this is a guy who gets regular at-bats with the Angels, and it's not like they gave up a whole lot for him, but I don't think you bring in a guy like this. Like, you're going to have three catchers going into the playoffs. You're going to have Max Stassi and this guy.
I don't think they feel like they can just coast their way into a first-place finish, though.
I agree. I think that having Fedorovich in there, and maybe, you know, Ben DeBose wrote, like, 2 out of 5 days, but let's say it's twice a week or whatever.
Yeah.
That might be a little bit too much for someone who basically has really, let's be honest, no baseball resume, especially at this level for a team that's a defending World Series champion. Now that's a good problem. Now, I'm guessing Stassi has another minor league option anyway, so if McCann does come back and he's healthy, you don't have to worry about the roster spot in September, obviously, and then you can cut it down to 25 when the playoffs roll around.
Well, no, that's true, and it didn't give up a whole lot for him, but I mean, I don't know why I should be optimistic about him coming back. It seems like this is something that he was pushing back as far as he possibly could, and now he has surgery on it. I mean, we're expecting a guy who's up there in age to be ready to go by the time the playoffs roll around.
Yeah, because he's done it before. I mean, he's had injuries these last few years. He's getting up there in years. Now, you should not be optimistic about him coming back next year at all. I don't think, unless barring a restructure or what have you, or a drastic reduction in pay, he's probably not going to be back here next year. And it's been nice that Stassi has been... Is revelation too strong a word? The results have been very, very pleasant for Stassi.
He's had a solid year.
Most of you are hoping that he was at least going to be an average pitcher or an average catcher. But his pitch framing, his production at the plate, that's a lot better than I was anticipating. So I feel good about that moving on into the future. Maldonado's a guy. Have they flirted with him? It seems like they've flirted with him for the last 3 years. His name keeps coming up every year. So finally you get him on a rental. But the Astros are the worst among the worst teams in the league at throwing people out.
And this dude is tremendous at that.
Yeah, so he'll gun you down at second. He's an assassin. And that, for whatever it's worth, and the Astros' proclivity for having defensive specialists, that at least helps.
Here's my quick take, Paul. I think that Maldonado's insurance. I don't think that, because on the other side, I expect McCann to come back. I expect that to happen if you're asking me, but they also need to be prepared for the possibility that he doesn't, or he comes back and he's not that good. So you need some insurance in case of that. I don't take this move to mean McCann's not coming back. I take it to mean insurance.
That's a good, insurance. I like that. You can't go into the playoffs Well, even yeah, do you go in? You I don't think you can go into the playoffs without three catchers, huh?
Well, no, they will. They'll go in with two. I think it's more that they
well,
could
no, but
go
I wonder
into...
if McCann is just kind of stringing along and not that it well, does that... it. How is McCann? McCann at the end of the season, just how confident do you feel in his health, I guess? Then you get into a very crunchy situation.
Yeah, they'll have to be confident in McCann to make sure he's on the postseason roster, yes. And this is the insurance.
Okay.
By the way...
are we doing positive, Paul?
Joaquin Soria was traded to the Brewers. I did not mention that in headlines.
Yes.
Which is interesting because it's another bullpen arm moved.
All right, here we go. Positive Paul every Friday at this time.
This malcontent millennial could make a glorious victory sound like the end of the world.
Oh, go on. What the hell is wrong with you?
Who's negative about this person, negative about that person? Come on, dude.
But right now, he's changing his tune.
Sunshine, rainbows.
This is Positive Paul on Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
It's the same crap.
Come on, smile, Paul.
I don't know if this makes me a loser because I do this with a lot of television shows, but there's nothing that I quite enjoy like watching a television show that I've seen a couple of times over again in the background while I'm doing other things. I've been doing that recently with the television show Breaking Bad, which I consider to be the best TV show of all time. And
I agree.
I very much enjoyed it because I continuously notice small little things, whether it's foreshadowing or little funny one-liners.
Yeah.
And I might not be paying 100% attention to it, but having it on in the background brings me comfort and joy.
I always feel like I'm wasting time if I'm rewatching stuff. And yet, I say that. I've watched Seinfeld episodes probably on average of 10 times per episode. So there is just something comforting about revisiting an old friend. I wish I did that more with books. I wish I would go back and read. Think about that.
I used to do that with Harry Potter. I would reread Harry Potter books.
Yeah, because there's no way you catch everything with a book the first time through.
I've read the book How to Stop Worrying and Stop Living like 8 times.
Oh,
Dale
yeah?
Carnegie.
Have you stopped worrying?
I've gotten better.
And now you said, was that a Freudian slip? You just said how to stop worrying and stop living.
Sorry, how to stop worrying and start living.
Not like, do I have to start looking over your
no.
online pharmacy purchases?
Theoretically, it's starting to live.
I bought a bunch of sedatives and plastic bags.
You know,
here we go.
The Breaking Bad's a good one, though, because to me, Breaking Bad is like the TV series. It's like a TV series version of like Shakespeare in a way. It's just the way the storyline.
Shakespeare.
Yeah, it's that great. It's tremendous. And I think to really fully grasp everything and appreciate it, you got to watch it twice. And I've only watched it through once.
Decay and rapid transformation, which is also about a little thing called chemistry, which Walter White teaches about.
He does.
There's a part where he says that early on, and it's like, oh, this is the whole show. It's a metaphor.
Oh, it's a metaphor.
Right.
Yeah, some shows do that. Shakespeare.
This makes me very, very happy because I don't buy this at all. Remember Malcolm Butler, how he was benched in the Super Bowl? Well, a lot of people don't remember
A lot of people
don't remember that Malcolm Butler made Corey Davis actually look like a competent wide receiver in the divisional round of the playoffs last year. Well, people in Tennessee are very excited after just a day of work with Malcolm Butler because apparently Malcolm Butler picked off a pass intended for Corey Davis and punted it. And all the Tennessee Sickle fans are reveling in this. Oh, they're going to be so disappointed. It makes me happy.
Why would they be happy with that and not distraught over the fact that Marcus Mariota's mechanics seem to get worse by the year and that Corey Davis doesn't apparently know the playbook? I'm without having watched it at all, I would give you a 50% chance that Corey Davis ran the wrong route and Malcolm Butler just got lucky on that play. Tennessee Titans fans, perhaps among the most inbred and stupid on earth.
So dumb.
Should not be applauding this. Yeah.
I hate them all. And then they do their stupid little tighten up chant. Casey Smith of Barstool Sports, who does the podcast with Johnny Manziel comeback season, actually put together like a compilation of a bunch of tweets by Titans fans about how excited they are.
Yeah, they are.
To see Malcolm Butler play well, they're dumb.
But
they're dumb. Stick to college football, you idiots.
Not that I want this to happen, but why can't Butler have a bounce back season? He was really good the year before in New England. Why can't he play like that?
Mike Vrabel.
Okay.
Mike Vrabel will ruin him. Mike Vrabel will make him a terrible player.
Mike Vrabel's going to destroy his confidence.
This made me laugh this morning. This is a new addition to Positive Paul. So I sit down and I'm wearing my Hawaiian shirt. It's a Hawaiian it's a Hawaiian Friday shirt.
It's pink flamingos. There's no flamingos in Hawaii.
So Michael looks at me and he's like, "What are those birds? Are they ostriches? Are they ducks? You went through a bunch of birds. Like, how do you not know these were flamingos?
Are you what?
I've been
what
thinking
are those birds.
I've been thinking for like 50 minutes, and I still couldn't come up with the word flamingo because Paul would not let me look it up.
But you knew. You just couldn't come up with the name flamingo. You know what a flamingo is.
Yes, I could not come up with a name flamingo.
It bothers
flamingo,
me that Paul's calling a Hawaiian shirt when there's flamingos
it's
on it.
It's a Hawaiian shirt.
I guess it, no, it's not a Hawaiian
shirt. The style
shirt.
Is a Hawaiian shirt.
No, it's not. Yes, it is. I don't know what the style of shirt is, but a Hawaiian shirt would be floral prints and everything. That's just like a casual whatever polo shirt with pink flamingos on it. That's a Miami shirt.
This is a Hawaiian shirt.
All right. I'm sorry. Take a picture of it and ask your Twitter followers and whatnot.
This is. See,
that's a good idea.
This is a better version of a Hawaiian shirt. What the Hawaiians should wear. Those floral patterns suck.
Well,
terrible shirts. These shirts are great.
I'm not going to sit in here and watch you appropriate Hawaiian culture.
I will appropriate. I have already. Every single Friday. Hawaiian shirt Friday, baby.
I don't fully know what appropriate means. Take
a photo. Put it on your Twitter account, at Galan Says, and just say, what kind of shirt is this? Yeah. What kind
it's
of shirt?
It's a nice shirt, whatever it is.
It's
I
a
like
good shirt.
It.
I think most people are going to say it's a baggy shirt. And by baggy, they don't mean that it doesn't fit me well. They mean that I am a bag with a word at the beginning of it. Hey! Guys, this movie is exciting as hell to me. So, you know the movie Home Alone? A lot of people have seen that one. Macaulay Culkin, Joe Pesci, that other guy that was in Celtic Pride. It was a great movie. Okay, well, Ryan Reynolds is apparently in the making of a movie where a man misses his plane for a holiday ski trip, and he gets high and becomes paranoid that people are breaking into his house. The movie is going to be called Stoned Alone. It has Ryan Reynolds, and this sounds wonderful for a Christmas time Yuletide trip to the movie theater. I am very excited about this.
Comedy, I assume?
Yes, it will be a comedy, yes.
I would watch that.
I'm a little bit confused by the plot, but I'm not going to dig too deep into it. Ryan Reynolds is one of the most genuinely funny actors.
A lot of
actors are kind of a letdown when you realize, oh, they're funny when there's a script in front of them. Ryan Reynolds seems like he could actually write comedy himself.
There's something about his delivery that I feel that very few are able to pull off. I'm glad that he got the role of Deadpool because I feel like that role was made specifically for him. Underrated movie that a lot of people maybe haven't seen, and it's also technically a Christmas movie, Just Friends, which also features Amy Smart, who is a smoke show. She is Vanderbeek's significant other in the movie Varsity Blues. She's the one that's like smart and wants him to go to Brown. And on top of that, you have Anna Faris, who plays this pop star. It's Anna Faris's best role ever. She is hilarious in it.
I think I actually have seen that.
Reynolds? You just referenced three movies there. Which one were you recommending?
Just Friends.
Just
Sorry.
Friends.
I'm talking about the people that
I like. I like when he looks directly at the camera and actually talks to the audience.
Deadpool when he breaks through the fourth wall there.
Yes. Yeah. He does an excellent job with that.
So there you go. Positive Paul.
Positive
every
Paul.
Friday, 6:40.